Welcome. You have just tuned into Elevated Resonance with Daniel. Celebrate a life worth living. Hi, I'm Daniel Richman.
And this is Dr. Pat.
Together, we will explore some aspects of the scientific foundation of what it means to be a conscious creator and get inspired to take action on creating a life worth living. I bring a unique blend of expertise to my work, leveraging an in-depth knowledge of concepts in neuroscience and the science of resilience, as well as over 20 years of experience in the corporate world and of what makes organizations successful. Know that it is possible for you to create a life, a team, or an organization that you truly want, despite the circumstances in your outer world. Are you ready to embrace change and celebrate a life worth living? Then this show is for you. Elevated Resonance with Daniel starts now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I want to welcome you to the show. You know, when Daniel decided to bring this show to the forefront, Elevated Resonance, there were so many things that came to mind for me and for all of you. The one thing that I was hoping he would talk about is the topic he's going to talk about today, because it's so important to tie all of this in and understand that this is life-changing. It's behavioral changing. It's not just a few words that you put on a piece of paper, but what if we were to say to you today that resilience shows up in every part of our life, but how does it show up? See, this is the key. This is one of these words. We hear resilience here, high resilience. But nobody wants to explain to us how we put it all together to show up today. Not only are we going to understand what that is, but it's such an incredible part of humanity, not only from the perspective of you and me sitting here figuring out how we're going to go through our day, but human beings, period. Daniel, right. This is one of these words you hear over and over and over again. Very few people can get us to the place where we understand how to build it. Are you going to help us today?
I hope so.
Okay. From where you sit, I know you work with many organizations. I know you work with individuals. I know resilience is so important, whether you're a startup or you're an organization that's building or you're an individual. But what is your perspective on resilience? What have you learned from all the work you've done and how you've helped organizations and people accomplish the strength of resilience that they need to have?
Yeah. No, thank you, Dr. Pat. I think resilience is what makes us adaptable, makes us very flexible to adapt challenges in our life, for example, and to deal with issues at work or stress, how to manage that. So resilience plays into all of that. But at the fundamental core of resilience, when we talk about that topic, we have to understand that resilience basically is talking about energy. Resilience is energy management. And so with resilience, how that works is the more resilience you have, the less energy you need to spend on something. For example, let's take a sport, an endurance sport. Someone is practicing to run, you know, training for a marathon. In the beginning, it takes a lot more energy to run, let's say, 10 miles. But at the end, hopefully, if the training is done right, the 10 miles will feel much easier and much less energy is being spent. So the athlete in that example has become more resilient. And so this example talks about one of four main domains of resilience. You know, it's the physical one that we just explored in this example, which deals with our endurance, our strength. The next one, in those four main domains, is then the mental one. This is where we talk about our attention span, our ability to focus, or our ability to incorporate someone else's point of view or perspectives. The third one is the spiritual domain, and that has nothing to do with religion, really. It's independent of that. It's more focused on the commitment to values, the tolerance of someone else's values and beliefs, and be able to talk about it and collaborate on it, the acceptance of those things. And the fourth one is the emotional one. This is where we cultivate a positive outlook, where we focus on our composure or our ability to choose appropriate responses, for example. Now, the important aspect about those four domains that we just talked about is that they are very, very tightly interrelated. Let me make an example to explain this. If you feel overwhelmed and frustrated, which is the emotional domain, because you have just too many things to do, right? You can't keep up, which means you also have a difficulty of thinking clearly, which is the mental domain. All this probably also reflects itself through tensing of muscles, like the shoulders get tight, neck gets tight. That's the physical domain. And typically, when we are in situations like that, we have a much lower tolerance of someone else's perspectives, which is the spiritual domain. So in summary, increasing our resilience is really about increasing our energy capacity in all of those four domains. And when I say energy capacity, think about a battery, right? And a battery can hold a certain amount of energy. So resilience is not necessarily about how charged it is. That is probably easier to accomplish than expanding the capacity. Now, I make the battery bigger so I can contain more energy when I'm fully charged. So that's important to understand when we talk about resilience. It's about the energy capacity overall, so the capacity of our inner battery.
Yeah. I want to ask you this question, because up until recently, we were never using the words emotion. As a matter of fact, for really long, my corporate career, and then as a consultant, I mean, one company I consulted for used to have a sign at the door that said, keep your emotions at home. Now, it's like, right? It's a local company. And by the way, you know, when we think about that, though, that is such a ridiculous request to make. Because we are emotional, spiritual beings. We no more can keep our emotions at the door, keep them home, than we can our spiritual, you know, optimism. Right? So let's talk about this, because in the context of things, you mentioned sports. I play a sport. I don't know what kind of sports people watch, but if you watch sports, there's a lot of emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So can you talk to this point, but also talk to the role resilience plays from a contextual point of view? You know, how does that tie into emotions? That ties into what mm-hmm. we do in stressful situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, telling someone to leave their emotions at home is impossible.
No kidding.
Can't separate yourself from your emotions. You always have them with you, the same way you have your thoughts with you. You might not express them. That's a different story. So I think a more appropriate sign would be, let's all collectively work on managing our emotional states. That is a more appropriate response or direction or guidance to give, I would say. Now, you talked about or asked about resilience and how it plays into stress and overall, because I remember last time in our episode, we talked about stress and resonance, right? So When we look at stress, what stress really does on a physiological level, it knocks the autonomic nervous system out of balance, out of homeostasis, which what we talked about last time is in effect then reduces our level of coherence and resonance in our body. We don't function as well. And by the way, the autonomic nervous system controls 90% of our bodily functions. So it's a very important piece of circuitry and machinery to keep well oiled and in balance and running smoothly. And so, as I mentioned earlier, more resilience means we don't need to spend as much energy for a certain thing, right? Or on a certain in a certain situation. When we are stressed, when there's a particular stressor that shows up, if we have more resilience, we're not gonna need to spend as much energy anymore because we have increased our energy capacity. So coherence and resonance, what we talked about last time, is very tightly related to our level of resilience. if I have to say this, if I say it in other words, to become more resilient or to become smarter about how we spend our energy, we have to create a higher level of coherence and resonance within ourselves. And this is where the autonomic nervous system comes in again, because when we focus on keeping our autonomic nervous system in balance, it directly contributes to a higher level of resilience and a higher level of coherence and resonance in the body. So does that kind of help to understand that resilience and coherence and resonance and stress, those are tightly interrelated?
Yeah, they are very tightly interrelated. You know what I'm really struck by? I'm struck by when you think of different professions, right? I think of people that are actors, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're male or female actors. And I think about, you know, we always see the end product, right? Mm-hmm. We see the end. We say, oh, blockbuster movie, it's out there, Dune, great. Mm-hmm. And then you see all the credits. And then you see the interviews that people do. And it's very clear, you start to hear about what they went through. Now, they are professionals, they don't talk about it. But it's this an interesting blend of how to use the intelligence of our emotions, the intelligence of the mind, the intelligence that we have, the intuition, the spirituality, and our physicality. And that's what I want to ask you, because the brain, our minds, plays such an integral role in all of this. I mean, mm-hmm. It's great for me to be able to read how to play the sport that I play. It's another thing to take what I've read and get out there and actually play it. But how much of a role does our brain have in all of this? Well, and, you know, the reason I'm asking is because we like to just cut things apart, but you said it earlier at the show, you need all four of these. And mm-hmm. yet, I don't know that we've quite gotten that we really do need all four. Now, I don't know how to balance that, or even if you do, mm-hmm. but let's talk about the brain / mind and what role it plays to get us to that place of high resilience.
Yeah, very good question. I mean, simply said, the brain is involved in everything we do, not just our thinking, but also our emotions and how we act, how we behave. Everything in our body, everything that we perceive, everything we do, everything we sense or feel is processed by the brain. And now, very often, most of the times, this happens subconsciously. That's why we might think, oh yeah, you know, my brain or my mind wasn't really involved in that. It's just something else happening. But the brain is involved underneath, or maybe sometimes behind the scene. In fact, about age 35, so when we are in our mid-30s, studies show that 95% of who we are is driven by subconscious neural networks. It's not our conscious thinking mind that runs the show, it's our subconscious. And the subconscious is a collection of experiences, habits, and skills we have acquired through our entire life. And now, coming back to the brain, it's important. It's involved in everything, right? As I just mentioned. And the brain obviously handles many different aspects of our being. And one very important part of our brain is the emotional brain. So there is an area in the brain, also referred to as the limbic system, which has a focus on managing emotions, on processing emotions and processing emotional responses. And what that really means is that every thought that we have has an emotion associated with it. And the other way around, every emotion has a thought associated with it. And one important part that I want to quickly tap into that's part of our emotional brain, our limbic system, is the amygdala. And the amygdala, one of the key functions of the amygdala is to store emotional associations in formal memories. So over time, we learn when this thing happens in our environment, this is how I'm going to feel about it. And that memory is stored in the amygdala. This is where the primal emotions are triggered from. And the other very interesting thing about amygdala is the amygdala can trigger processes and responses, for example, without the thinking brain being involved, which is the neocortex. So what that means is something happens. If that is a memory associated in the amygdala triggers a response in our body and we react, for example, emotionally in a certain way without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
The brain, and it's much faster than our thinking brain can even catch up with. So that's why it's so important to pause and say, hold on, what's going on here?
Let's just make it really clear to people, because this is, I think we missed this. You know, it's like that comment I made to you about that organization that had that sign up. That is like not possible to do. Every thought has an emotion associated with it. And if we just understood that a little better without panicking about it, because emotions is one of these words that gets a bad rap, but you cannot build up the level of resilience that one wants to achieve in order to achieve their vision, their goals. And I don't care what it is. You don't have to have a lofty goal. It's a goal. You know, you have to build something up. And so part of what you're talking about, this is a part of the brain that we just have avoid this. And I almost want to say, what would the world be like if we embraced our emotional selves instead of put them down? Because what you're talking about is an essential aspect of resilience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's to explain it very simply, when the example I made with the amygdala, when there is a stimulus in our external environment that is processed by the brain and the amygdala triggers a response, what it actually triggers emotionally, emotions are basically chemical responses in our body. And so what happens is that part of the brain, our limbic system, triggers the chemical processes and signals certain glands and hormonal centers in our body that then excrete certain chemicals that make us feel a certain way. Now, you mentioned emotions sometimes get a bad rap, and I think it's so sad. This is what makes us humans. This is what makes life so amazing. Imagine you would not be able to feel anything. It's like you wouldn't really be human if you wouldn't have emotions. So the key is really to learn how to manage the emotions, how to self-regulate our emotional states in a meaningful way, so we don't respond automatically the way we programmed ourselves, our subconscious, through our past experiences, but that we pause and become aware of what's going on. And with that awareness, all of a sudden we have a choice. Because if we are not aware of it, if it happens subconsciously, then we're running on autopilot and we have given our free will away to a bunch of programs that are running.
Right. I was reading an article, I can't remember which journal it was from, about a week or so ago, talking about the possibility of fully using our brain capacity. Okay. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. It's a big controversy, this brain thing. But one of the things they brought up is, imagine having a brain and not using it. Now, that's not what they meant. Right. You understand what I'm saying, but not using it the way we use it. We're bypassing what some people believe, the agony of thinking and emoting. I mean, what is that in response to, you know, resonance, but also resilience? Because you hear so many stories, Daniel, about people that have this. I mean, we don't use the word resilience, but we know we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then you read about how they operate life. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a very different side of how to be. What do you think about that? Are they in a different zone? I don't know what to call it.
Yeah. There is a distinction between subduing or putting emotions away, which we often do. You know, something happens and we just shove it away somewhere. Now, emotions are energy in motion. It's chemicals in the body floating around, and there's actually memories stored in the body as well, in different centers. There's neurons all over the body, not just in the brain. And so the important part is if we just push them away and don't deal with them, that builds up over time, because it's not like they're not there anymore or they just disappear. They are there, but they we lock them up somewhere within our being, and this is what then causes dysfunctions. We have problems in certain area of our bodies. Digestive system, for example, is a big one when people pushing away emotions that are related to feeling safe, for example. So that is one thing, like pushing away. That is not a good thing. And what we should do instead is we should process them, like embrace those emotions that come up, because the reason why an emotion comes up is because there's a certain response that our body is processing. Now, we can rewire that if we want to, but the only way to do that is we have to become aware of those responses. Don't push them away, but rather look at them as like, oh, this is happening right now. Isn't that interesting? So what do I want to do? I'm the boss. I can decide what I want to feel, literally. So it's not about putting the emotions away, but taking an emotion that I don't want to feel in that moment. So I transmute it. I transmute that energy, that emotion, into an emotion I actually want to feel, and start to program myself in that way. For example, if I always get angry about someone cutting me off on the street when I drive in traffic and respond like that, the day I become aware of that and make the decision, the conscious decision of, I don't want to be that person anymore because it's not serving me. It's not serving me at all. I feel how I'm stressed and the whole day goes in a very different direction. So I'm like, okay, I understand a little bit more about emotions now and effects on our resilience and all of those good things. Now I do something differently with that. And there are tools that we teach in with elevated resonance. There is a tool we teach people. And the fundamental scientific information that educates people on the importance of emotions. Very, very important. That's one of the key drivers of our physiology. And so teaching people how to stay emotionally balanced, how to process properly emotions, and how to learn how to redirect emotions or transmute emotions, that is a super, super important skill.
Yeah, I wish this was taught in schools at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things. I know you do a lot of work in organizations. It's so important in the world we live in today, dynamic nature of organizations. Organizations, I mean, whether they're corporations, small business, it doesn't matter. We're all being asked to really operate in a different way, especially now with AI. We're all being asked to operate in a different way. And if we're not really going to be at this high level of what you, I think you call it heart coherence and brain coherence and a higher level of resonance, it's almost as if we don't have resonance. We have dissonance. We have things like fighting with each other, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we get there? What could you, what tips can, what tools can you leave us with to help us get there?
So the field of mindfulness and the techniques and tools and understanding that come with mindfulness, for example, is a fundamental cornerstone. And mindfulness is all about teaching people how to go from autopilot, those subconscious programs running by themselves, to becoming aware of them. So that's the basic. Becoming mindful, meaning becoming more aware. Because once we are aware of our emotions and what's going on, then we can actually make a different choice if we want to. So that's the starting point for a lot of things, is become more aware of things. And then the field of emotional intelligence talks about and then how to manage those emotions, the tools of how to do that in a very mindful and effective way. And then this is about my own emotions, right? So becoming aware of them and then being able to manage and self-regulate. And then the next step is, now I become aware and mindful of the emotion someone else is feeling, which is called social awareness. And being able then to cultivate and manage relationships with our loved ones, with our colleagues, with everyone around us in a very meaningful way. So those are kind of the four pillars of emotional intelligence that Daniel Goleman talks about in detail.
All of this, though, doesn't it lead to increased, better communication, collaboration? Because there's nothing worse than being part of a team and really having this high tension. I mean, not much gets done. all of this is part of learning these tools so our lives are much easier, if I might say. You know, we're not taken off or out of alignment by something that comes up in a day, because we live in a world now where we're getting so much information, guaranteed something's going to come up, right?
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, that things come up. It's all about how do we respond to that. And yes, when we work with organizations and teach them, for example, before I teach someone how to give effective feedback or how to have a difficult performance review with someone, I want them to understand the underlying scientific foundation of what we just talked about. Like, what is resilience? How is it reflected physiologically, neurologically, chemically? So they understand the dynamic that's happening behind the scenes when we look at emotions, for example, and then teach them the tools to become emotionally intelligent. And then, based on that, then teaching people on how do we give feedback? What is a good method of how to do that? With keeping that in mind, that this emotional awareness and the emotional intelligence, without that, I promise you that none of those feedback frameworks will really be effective, because if we can't manage our emotions, we won't be effective in giving feedback and receiving feedback.
Yeah, it's like the engine of a car. If everything is not working together in harmony, in precision, in collaboration with each other, it all it takes is for one thing to not work. And wow, you know, the degree by which we could even move forward could be either small or great. Thank you for today. Look, last thing, what do you want to leave us with? And how can people find out more about this and about you and the work you're doing?
I would say if this resonates, right, with you, it's an amazing field to engage in and learn about. And what it leads to at the end is a much more fulfilled life. Or as we say at Elevated Resonance, we get to the point where we can celebrate a life that's worth living. And that requires to understand why we do something and what we do, the tools, and then how to apply that. And that affects everything in our life, personal and professionally. It doesn't matter. To me, there's no difference. And that is just a wonderful path to be on, to become empowered as an individual, as a business leader, as an executive, as a spouse, as a father, as a mother, to be empowered to take charge of your own destiny and to create a life you truly want. And understanding how emotions work is so fundamental.
No kidding. And to be able to have fun with them as well. Daniel, thank you so much for today. Again, what's your website, the best way for people to connect with you?
Very simple. It's elevatedresonance.com.
Thank you so much for today, because part of this is really understanding that the four items you mentioned, whether they be mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical, have been with us since the inception, since the inception of who we are in humanity. And now we're just learning the importance of all four of them. Thank you so much for your work on this, Daniel. Remember that there is a way, as Daniel said, there's a way. You know, we're not saying not to have emotions. We're very clear about that. But now you can learn what to do with them. I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Elevated Resonance with Daniel. Celebrate a life worth living. I'm Daniel, and along with Dr. Pat, you have been learning some of the key aspects of how to navigate towards your vision of the future by creating and living your best self every day. Tune in every first Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time or 2 p.m. Eastern Time to become better in coping with the demands and challenges of everyday life. For more information about this show and how I can support you, visit my website, elevatedresonance.com.